this, and this is me trying to score with a girl. And, of course, it was never going to happen anyway because, I mean, you've seen what I looked like when I was 15. It was just, it was the Nowheresville, man. But I remember sitting on the swing set at a park in Kennewick. Me, Brian, two 17-year-old girls, and he's brought along some Coors Light, of course. And here's me doing what all idiot teenagers do. Half a can down, me, I'm so wasted, and just totally acting like I'm drunk on half a can of Coors Light because I thought that the girls were going to think I was like a Mac or something. But then a couple years later, and it's like a really small town, and so you couldn't, like I was, like we had, you know, the health class and everything, so it's like, you know, it's like it, I came of age in that generation where, like, C. Everett Koop got on TV and pounded the condom thing into us over and over and over again. I will totally remember, for the rest of my life, I remember, and Tim, you remember this probably, C. Everett Koop dressed like Captain Steubing from The Love Boat with, like, little, what are those things, lapels or whatever those decorations that he have on his shoulder when you're in the military, with that weird Robert Bork beard of his, going, the most effective method to prevent the transmission of sexually transmitted diseases is the use of a condom. And that's how he pronounced it, was condom. He sounded like he was in the Crucible or something. Is the use of a condom. And so I, as a slip of a youth, would go to Butryosko and steal condoms because you couldn't. It was such a small town. And I mean, it's not minuscule, it's 20,000 people. And I mean, I run into people a lot here in Portland that you know. I mean, Portland's a town of 500,000 people in Portland Metro. And you know, on an average week, you'll be out and about at the mall and you'll see two or three people you know. Well, imagine a town that's like 1/20th that size. When you're a 17-year-old miscreant, the girlfriend's parents hate you. And you're at the store buying something which indicates that you are engaging in sexual congress with her. And so there I am, and here's what I would do. I had a whole method. Kids, don't shoplift. But I'm saying this is how I did it. First of all, I'm wearing a trench coat because, you know, I'm a loser. And so it's July, and I'm wearing my big trench coat walking into the Butryosko. And I would, first of all, I would go in late at night, like 2 a.m., which in retrospect is probably the wrong time to do it because, I mean, you're a kid in a black trench coat walking into a store at 2 a.m. in a small town.
No, every time I've seen the 7-Eleven robbed on 20th, it's always been in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you should do it. No, don't do it. But I'm saying, logically,
people the best time to rob
No, no, don't.
I've seen the 7-Eleven robbed three times.
You won't get this information on the Lars Larson show.
Well, we're trying to be relatable.
Isn't something interesting to watch on Hawthorne at around 3 o'clock?
Yeah, no.
Go watch the 16-year-olds run out with beer.
Again, I'm not instructing children to do this, but you know what? Convenience stores and stores in general, they do instruct you that if kids grab beer and run out, just to let them go. Because they told us, here's what they started doing in California. We're off topic now, but here's what the kids started telling us, or the kids started doing in California. The guy, when I worked at 7-Eleven, told me, he's like, now sometimes you'll get a kid, he'll come in, and he'll just grab a half rack of Heineken and run out the door with it. You should let them go. And I said, well, why? Because they're dangerous? And he said, no, because apparently what the kids started thinking this far enough ahead. They would have a friend come in, like, and be browsing through, like, Mini Trucker magazine. Another guy comes in, grabs the Heineken, runs out the door. The clerk chases the kid with the beer. Meanwhile, the friend who came in earlier is going through the cash register. So it was like an alley-oop. It was a pick-and-roll kind of a thing.
Would it be easier just to throw an axe at somebody?
Yes. It would be easier just to shoot everyone. But I would go into the Butryosko late at night, and my thing was this. I would, and it's, in retrospect, it's so stupid because it's just like Ron Howard in American Graffiti, where you're doing I need a pencil and a toothbrush and a comb and some rubbers and also a piece of meat and a lighter and, you know, whatever. And all these, I would go into the store. I would walk around. I would find a. I would just. I would walk through the condom aisle. You pick the condoms, and then here's what. It's so dumb, and I would spend another 10 minutes walking around the store picking up items that I had no intention of buying, and then at some point, I would make it a point to drop one of the items on the floor. I had it all worked out, choreographed. In reality, I could have just put them in my pocket, because at 2 a.m., everybody's either drunk or they're just busy stocking the shelves. Who cares? So I would lean down, though. Like, I'd have the condoms in one hand, and I'd have, like, you know, like a box of marshmallows in the other. I would drop the marshmallows on the floor. Oh, look, I dropped my marshmallows. I'd lean down. I would pick up the marshmallows and the condoms, and then I would do this sort of Penn and Teller thing where I would, as I was lifting my arm up, I would drop the condoms down the sleeve of my trench coat, which is like a big sleeve, and then I would just sort of pinch it closed with my hand and then, like, walk out. all of that just for something that I could have bought for like $1.99. But, of course, you lived in fear of getting up to the register, and then there's some Edie McClurg type up there who's like, oh, hello, Richard, and what do you... Condoms, eh? $1.99. And then you know that it's going to be the woman who's like in the church choir.
She's going to pick up the party line.
Exactly. Mildred, you will not believe what I saw that Emerson boy buying here today were condoms. Do you believe that? And then you're going to go to church, and the dad's going to be waiting outside, and he's going to garrote you in the parking lot. The end.
So meanwhile, this woman who ate all these clothes pulled out clumps of the officer's hair and knocked into a checkout counter.
Clumps.
And a store employee had to pick up a can of pepper spray and subdue the grape-eating felon.
The grape-eating
When the officers arrived, they found them grappling on the floor with huge chunks of hair pulled from the skull everywhere, littering.
Oh, my God.
Phrase of the day, Marianne Rambo. Huge chunks of hair pulled from the scalp everywhere. There you go. All right.
Hey, we're about 15 minutes late.
All right, but you stole cigarettes.
Yes.
Just to recap. Tim Riley, I know you stole something. Don't lie. You used to huff Pam. I know you stole something.
Nope. Everything in my house was plentiful. Nothing ever required stealing or...
Mommy and Daddy made sure we were well taken care of. All right. Well, there
Mommy
you go.
And Daddy like the boozing and the smoking?
No, they're good New Hampshire. They're good.
Oh, well, that isn't everything. If you're a kid,
no,
you need...
My parents did smoke.
Oh, really?
No, see, that's why, because I...
Well, several months out of the year with all the windows shut.
Oh.
They chain smoked cartons and cartons of cigarettes. I will be dying of lung cancer within the next 2 years.
I think I lived in that house.
See, half of my friends' parents smoked, and they just leave their cigarettes laying around. And then plus, a couple of my friends had drunk grandmothers, and they'd leave their mini bottles everywhere.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. That. Did your parents, like my dad, did your parents have the blackened ceiling space above the recliner? Above the chair?
More than likely. I never looked that high.
Good time.
Yeah, they chain smoked 9 months out of the year with all the doors and windows shut.
Can I have some fresh air? No. Go get me some sap. All right, well, are we late? That's a yes. And break here, we'll come back. Well, we might as well come back and do more news, because then we got Susan Redd. So we'll come back, we'll do a little bit more, because we got so dreadfully behind. We'll come back. We will revisit the Ministry of Truth on the other side. Susan Reynolds will be here to talk about Tim Conway. Later on, we'll talk to Jen Lane. We have some classic Tim Riley, etc. We'll do more of this gossip, etc. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. You stay right there.
This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Remembering what you
did. AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Hey, Mary, what is her name? Mary Grace?
Mary Grace, yeah.
That is a total goody-goody girl name, but you know that she's a bad girl underneath. Scratch a good girl, find a slut. That's what I'm saying.
She's a very good girl.
But she shoplifted. You just called her a klepto.
She was a total klepto, which is so weird. She was really sweet. You know, we went to church and like youth group at the same place. And I found out that she was just a total kleptomaniac.
I don't know.
Like stealing makeup and like
girls
everything.
It must be a girl thing. I stole rubbers, but that's just because of the shame. That's only because of the shame. Good Catholic shame. It leaves a mark. But girls just steal stuff. I think girls get a thrill out of it. I think here's the thing. I think when you're a teenage girl, I say, with all my deep knowledge of being a teenage girl, you feel pretty. Oh, so pretty. I think before you're old enough to get yourself a bad boy, companion, before you did, a bad boyfriend, I think you got to just create your own bad thrill. And that's where the shoplifting comes from. I think those are the girls who eventually end up with bad boy male companions. That'll be my guess. Am I supposed to be talking about something
here? Yeah, CD Game Exchange.
CD Game Exchange. Well, you can't shoplift there. Everything's behind glass. It's 5 locations, one near you, proud sponsor of the Rick Emerson Show. They got a brand new one on Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard. New releases this week include that Dwarves DVD. Somebody emailed me and asked what it contained, and I really don't know the answer to that. I don't know a whole lot about the Dwarves, but I did see it on the list, and I know the kids, they love the Dwarves.
I love the Dwarves.
The Highwaymen have got a DVD out as well. The Highwaymen, which is Willie, Waylon, Chris, and Chris Jefferson, and Johnny Cash. You can go check that out as well. Plus the new Weird Al Yankovic, we're talking about that, and Jay-Z's Greatest Hits all come out on CD this week. So go see them. They buy, they sell, they trade everything to outfit your CD collection, your movie collection, your video game collection, and your walls. They got posters, t-shirts, and all that. Go see them. 5 locations in Portland. CD Game Exchange.
If you haven't heard the Stephanie Miller Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. I need to wait.
Wake up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Melissa Etheridge. We ripped off another one without giving her a dime. And why is she the official rock show of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Rock star.
That's what I said. Because
you said rock show.
Rock star. Because she's the only one that's ever called the Stephanie Miller Show. And
this is true.
Jim and I are going to see her this Saturday.
Yeah,
going backstage. She invited us.
Insanely jealous.
And you're a little dweeb that wouldn't change your airline ticket. I can't believe you turned down Melissa Etheridge to go.
I didn't turn down.
Go to Virginia?
Whatever.
Okay. Whatever.
Let's listen. Stephanie Miller. Mornings at 6. Only on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Hey, be glad you bought it. J. Lee Gladstone Honda. They are J. Lee Gladstone Honda on McLaughlin Boulevard.
Ever wonder why car salespeople don't give you a price up front? Because they're professional negotiators who make their living on commissions. But at Car Chevy World, our salespeople are on salary, so we can post the real price on the window of every Chevy on our 11-acre inventory. We call it the only price, and it isn't just our lowest price. We believe it's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, like the all-new 2007 Aveo, starting at just $84.99, with 35 miles per gallon, dual front and side airbags, and a 100,000-mile factory warranty. Car Chevy is the largest dealer in the Northwest, so our customers get more selection and more savings than ever. And with an only price of just $84.99 on a new Aveo, we're starting an American revolution. So stop getting pressure and start getting assistance at Car Chevy World, home of the only price. One block west of Murray on TV Highway in Beaverton or on the web at carauto.com. The only price. Our lowest posted no-haggle price. Only at Car Chevy World. Stock number C79073. When Car Subaru created the only price, shopping around became a thing of the past. Because when Car Subaru posts the only price in the window of a new Subaru, it makes our customers smile and our competition sweat. And here's why. The only price isn't just our lowest price. We believe it's the lowest price you'll find anywhere. Like our new 2007 Subaru Outback, starting at just $18,995. Car Subaru is the largest Subaru dealer in the country, so our customers get more selection, more new models, and more savings than ever. That's over 450 Subarus in stock, all with symmetrical all-wheel drive. And with our 2007 Subaru Outback starting at just $18,995, we're offering them at prices our competition can't compete with. Visit us today at 217 and Canyon Road in Beaverton or on the web at carauto.com. Then again, if you have time and money to waste, keep on shopping. The only price. Only at Car Subaru. Think Field Drive Subaru. Stock number S70013 includes $750 factory rebate.
Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan invites you to celebrate their birthday. Enter to win one of Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan's birthday surprises and check out the Nissan year-end clearance. Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan. Go to TonkinWilsonvilleNissan.com.
Hey, this is Rick Emerson, and don't forget, the Great American Poker Tour is letting you play free No Limit Texas Hold'em at your favorite bar, your favorite restaurant, 6 nights a week. And then most Saturday and Sunday afternoons, too. Now, it's free, and it's a great way to keep your poker skills razor sharp. And there's over 6,500 players in the Portland area, so I know you're always going to get a challenge. Now, this course is presented to you by Wild Bills. They're Portland's poker headquarters. They got everything you need. They got the clay poker chips, the supplies, the tables. So do yourself a favor. Come on out and try your hand at Texas Hold'em with the Great American Poker Tour. And it's free, and you can sign up right now at greatamericanpokertour.com. GreatAmericanPokerTour.com. Start playing tonight. There's no cost to play. Go to GreatAmericanPokerTour.com and find a location near you. And free, no-limit Texas Hold'em at your favorite bar, your favorite restaurant, the Great American Poker Tour, brought to you by Wild Bills and presented by Crown Royal. Sign up today. GreatAmericanPokerTour.com. Start playing tonight.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's Muy Grande.
Chad, these are really big nachos with a really big taste. We need a bigger sound.
Oh, my fault. Let me try again.
Take two.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a monumental mound of overflowing flavor.
Cut! Better, but let me explain. We're talking tasty corn tortilla chips heaped with savory refried beans and a mouth-watering blend of melted pepper jack and cheddar cheese, all topped with a spicy enchilada sauce, sour cream, black beans, zesty salsa fresca, and rich, full-flavored guacamole. It's a monstrous flavor extravaganza of epic proportions.
Oh, gotcha. Really big taste. I know, I can do that.
Introducing the new Nachos
Grande from Taco Time. It's a humongous explosion of crunchy, cheesy, saucy satisfaction that will blow your taste buds away.
Cut. And that's a wrap.
Nachos Grande, new at Taco Time.
AM 970, reminding you that in the daily struggle between enlightenment and stupidity, you are a valued foot soldier. Every time you convert someone to the AM 970 cause, your road to glory burns with renewed brightness. So, spread the word about AM 970, Solid State Radio. If you haven't heard the Don and Mike show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. Okay, stop the stoop for the trip to Las Vegas. I'll go first this time. And the tune in 1 second. Here we go. Tunes from the rock era, right, Robbie?
Yeah.
Here we go. That would definitely be You and I by Rick James.
Rock era.
I'm glad you went first.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
From the rock era, I mean like from 1969 to now.
Okay.
From right. Under the rock era.
Okay, smart guy.
There you go.
1 second, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Oh.
Wow. I've got it, incidentally.
You do?
Jeez,
sure. Smoke from a Different Fire by the Sanford Townsend Band. Wow.
Oh, that's a good song, but I would have never got it.
Oh, man.
Let's listen. Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Weeknights at 7, only on AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is KCMD AM, Portland, f***ing Oregon.
You can modify the fiction.
AM 970 Solid State Radio.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733. Hello! 503.
This could not be any louder.
733.
I'm trying to gradually pot it down.
2970. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We're already getting slogans for the Iraq War. How about this one? Iraq, because we can't invade Mexico. This is from Aaron, by the way. No, he's allowed to say that.
Well, we can have him come in and read the copy.
Iraq, better them than you. What?
Well, we can have him, since he's allowed to do it as well, come in and read the copy.
All
for
the superhero stuff.
Superhero stuff.
I think we're going to transition away from that ad. I think we're going to put that in the pile of ideas best left unfulfilled.
Okay.
I've come to the conclusion. I think as we had pre-read that superherostuff.com spot with the... Where it started off with, you know, like Pepe and, you know, Jorge, who are, you know, two. And it's
Devon.
And we got like a third of the. And having even pre-read it like 100 times, we got about a third of the way through it on the air, and we just got that horrible sort of. No. Kind of sensation. I had more slogans for the war prepared, but Sarah's whole remark about how nerds don't get laid threw me off. Damn
oh,
you, woman.
I did not say that.
I am just repeating.
I'm just saying that. I'm not saying nerds in general, I'm saying you. I know you.
So it's not that the nerds don't get laid, it's that Rick doesn't
you
get laid.
You have just expressed your high school awkwardness so many times that I just really found it hard to believe that you would have a relationship with a girl in high school.
Well, I wouldn't. Their relationship so much as, you know. Look, for every loser, desperate, pathetic guy, there is a woman who somehow finds that pathetically charming and endearing. There's not enough women of those, of course, which is what, you know, so you find one, you got to drug them and keep them in your basement. Let's see. And then here's the, let's just pass the too much information line here. I'll have you know, he continues, that this geek, Aaron says, speaking of himself in the third person, or no. That's not in the third person. This geek. Second person?
Referring.
First? I? Whatever. Anyway, he says, this geek knew a woman's loving touch at 14.
Dorks. Sure he did.
I don't know if she was awake for it or not. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, my God. But speaking of... Why? Oh, like you're all horrified.
You know it was like his cousin or something?
His mom.
You know, never. His mom? Did you really just say that? Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. That's an entrance right there. CBS Radio Portland marketing guru and pithy observationalist, Susan Reynolds. How you doing, sister?
I am well. Thank
His
you.
Mom.
Oh, I was just kidding.
No, you know, but the great thing about that is that really is an all-purpose retort to anything. Yeah, your mom.
You know, doesn't, you know, I don't know. Well, what's this stain on the rug? Your mom. It doesn't, it just crap. That doesn't
I feel
make
like
any
anyone
sense.
Who has to brag about it, it probably didn't happen.
Can we, look, we're all, well, I was going to say we're all men here, but that's, we're all adults here. Can we, this is, you've hit upon something, Sarah, and this is not really what Susan came here to talk about, but what are you going to do? What can you do? Here's the thing. Here's the thing that guys need to know not to do. Guys need to know, because Sarah and I have had this conversation. I will not be any more specific than I have to. But Sarah and I have had this conversation about, and typically you think it's a male trait, but there are women, and there are women that Sarah and I have known in the past who are really loudly given to just making a sexual euphemism out of anything, sometimes in the workplace. And it's like, I'm not a prude, but there is, as strange as it sounds, sometimes it can just be a little icky and weird. And here's one of life's true maxims, by the way, that almost always the people who are given to making every observation, like you will just say something, you know, like you'll say something out. I used to work with this production director. And speaking of moms, his response to anything was,
"That's what your mom said last night."
Like he would say, so I'd be like, you know, where's my pen?
That's what your mom said. Ah!
And then he would just sort of stare at you and like jerk his head upwards, like waiting for you to acknowledge the brilliance of whatever he just said. There are people, though, that just they wait for every opportunity to turn anything you say into some sort of sexual euphemism. And it's always people that you don't find attractive in the slightest. Almost always.
This is like you with the girls who choose to bike ride naked. Like, never the girls that you want to
Well,
see.
It's always those, you know, it's always those chicks at Berkeley. You know, just a bunch of hairy, scraggly women with bad, you know, and it's terrible and pear-shaped. And then it's a lot of, we want to be nude! And it's like, there's not enough eye bleach in the world, man. I mean, there's just no goggles strong enough to look at those women. It's not like I'm just saying. But it's always the guys, too. And it's a lot of kind of 70s-type guys with, like, bad molestaches. And they're always making a lot of crude sexual observations in public. And it's exactly, and I don't mean to sound like a prude, but it's exactly what you said. It's those guys that you suspect don't ever, ever, ever get laid. And every circle of men has this guy in it. Every circle of men has the guy who either, A, no offense, Aaron, has to talk about how he was getting his at 13, or the guy who will insist to you with a straight face, and I suspect that Dennis Pitzenbarger might be this type, a guy who will insist to you with a straight face that it was at 11 years old, and it was with, wait for it, the babysitter. Yeah, see, you, Sarah knew your mouth was full of food, but you knew exactly what I was saying right there. Every guy has that dude in his circle of friends who will insist to you that he was like getting it on with the hot sitter from down the block. That is a lie. That's a thing that couldn't possibly be less true.
Well, now that I have a 12-year-old who is starting to babysit, this story makes me sick.
Oh, hello. Sorry. So, let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's.
All right. Another reason I don't have kids. Did you see the story? There's the other day. They were talking. I don't know if it was in Britain or here. I think they have the technology to do it here now, but they're talking about parents who choose their baby's gender or they decide whether to proceed based on the baby's gender or whatever. It's like a gender selection science that they're starting to, which is weird and icky.
Wow,
for,
that's creepy.
It's totally creepy for like any hundreds of like weird moral reasons. But I'm just saying, like, just from a purely prosaic point of view, I mean, I can't. That's a decision I couldn't even possibly face. It's like, I can't. Because there seems like there's so many drawbacks to having either gender. You know what I mean? Like, I on the one hand, I wouldn't want to have a girl because I know how boys are. But on the other hand, I wouldn't want to have a boy because I know how boys are. And they're just little bastards, you know? All of them.
No, you should always stick with boys.
It's true.
Well, because boys, yeah. I've told you this before.
No.
Boys, you worry about one penis. Girls, worry about all of them.
Yeah, thank you. I have two girls. And by the way, I wanted girls because I thought it would be fun to play Barbies. And,
oh, no.
You know, again, I mean, because I played with them when I was a kid. And
that's kind of a creepy statement.
Well, but then.
Do you mean to play Barbies with them or to treat them as though they were Barbies?
No, play Barbies with them.
Okay,
and then I
thought
realized,
you meant like you wanted to hold them down and do their hair
no,
or something.
No. But after I played Barbies like one time, I was done and never wanted to do it again.
Well, because nothing that you find exciting or interesting, your kids never find it exciting. You know, the stuff that you always think that they're, I mean, that you always think they're going to have fun doing with your kids couldn't be less interested in. So, I don't know. Let's move on. Susan's got that awkward look on her face.
Well, you know.
I don't mean to make you feel bad about, you know.
About my kids.
I'm just saying I'm glad it's you and not me.
About everything.
It's like, because I've worked with guys in the past, and a lot of times it's fathers who have daughters. And you can just see when the daughter hits like 12, 13,
We always used to joke about Bill Clinton and how that job aged him exponentially. Having teenage daughters, I believe, ages you. By the time your daughters are done with their teenage years, you have aged a good 40 years as a man, I think. I mean, and probably as a mother, too. But
oh,
I mean,
it's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we're entering into that horrible, mean girls, you know, everybody's fighting with everybody. And
good luck with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll get you some beer. I should read this here because we've been talking about to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. This email says, Rick, I was just hearing the podcast of yesterday's show, and you mentioned that Mr. I don't know how that would happen, by the way. And you mentioned that Mr. Conway and Mr. Korman are going to be in Portland on November 17th. I'm going to be traveling to Portland that weekend for the Storm and the Balls concert on the 18th. Do you know if there are tickets for sale? There are tickets for sale, by the way, at HOB.com or Ticketmaster.com, I believe.
I believe starting Saturday.
Starting Saturday. This woman, Sarah, in Puerto Rico. Okay. Where the natives are apparently always steaming. It's a Rita Moreno thing. I have a whole... I like the Isle of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I have a small Tim Conway story, she says. That's a phrase you don't hear a lot, by the way. I have a Tim Conway story. From a woman especially. This is touching. Now listen to this. It happened the day my family bought their first VCR. My dad, 40 years my senior, bought a VHS tape a friend of his had given him in order to test it. I barely remember what things were recorded there, except for one, Rick. The dentist sketch from the Carol Burnett Show. There I was, a 10-year-old, who didn't speak a word of English, laughing my ass off at what I was seeing. The sketch transcended the age and language barrier, and to this day, I can say it is the second funniest thing I've ever seen on television. Oh, I'm sorry, it is the funniest thing on television. A close second is the Trapped in the Closet episode of South Park. The best part of the moment, I looked back to find my usually stoic father holding his stomach and giggling. I had never seen my father do that, and I don't think I've seen him do it again. But I still remember it. And by the way, I still can't figure out what was funnier. Tim Conway's straight man approach to the incompetent dentist, or Harvey Korman trying to hold his laughter in throughout the entire sketch. They kill me every time. Cheers, Sarah in Puerto Rico. There you go. Isn't that a touching story?
Very. And, you know, they were famous for cracking each other up. Well, I think Tim Conway used to crack up Harvey Korman during those sketches on the Carol Burnett.
Well, they own that niche of comedy, that sort of sketch. And I've said in the past, actually, that I'm really not the hugest fan of sketch comedy because so much of it is done badly and terribly. And I do mean this in a respectful way, but it seems like sketch comedy to me in many ways is a kind of comedy that is sort of the past. You know, when I tried to watch SNL a couple weeks ago, and it just seemed like a type of comedy that is very firmly rooted in a different generation. But these guys, man, the Carol Burnett Show, Tim Conway and Harvey Korman and Carol Burnett herself and all of those big players, they did it so well and so flawlessly. And so this is their farewell tour, right?
Yeah, which is interesting because what does that mean?
I don't know. I always suspect that it means that somebody miscalculated line 5 on the 1040 easy. That's what that means. It's farewell to my gigantic bill that I owe the IRS. It's that they started to auction off my possessions and I need money.
Or maybe they've got the big countdown clock going for, you know, the number of years left.
I don't know. But I mean, I'm excited. And Tim, man, I was telling Tim Riley about this. Tim Riley, I am so there. I cannot wait to see this. So it's cool stuff.
Well, this is how I knew when I got the email that this was coming and they said, hey, you know, would AM 970 be into this? You know, before even asking you, I was kind of like, we are all about this.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, we don't get much stuff thrown our way.
No, it's not like the Stones are going to be calling us and going, well, we were going to talk to one of those big FM stations, but no, so we, you know what, but this is totally in our wheelhouse, as they say.
And I figured if you had another opportunity for a bathrobe shot backstage, you know, can't pass that up.
I was trying not to be morbid earlier, by the way, but really, I mean, you know, let's be honest, there's some people who are closer to the beginning than the end, and there's some people who are closer to the end than the beginning. And I like the opportunity to sort of, I mean, really, it's like, how many chances are you going to get to talk to, like, a Bob Newhart guy before the final dirt nap happens? I mean, it's like you got... I mean, it's... The people don't really appreciate sometimes this sort of older generation of comics, like Don Rickles. Even I was a big Rickles fan, and I did not know what to expect when we went to see him at Chinook Winds. And that guy was fantastic. He was hilarious. So, and I mean, someday, God forbid, I hope it's many years from now, but someday when the cold, icy hand of death comes and closes over Don Rickles' face, I'll be able to come on and do a tearful eulogy the next day and be like, I was there. I saw Don Rickles. And I'll be able to have the photograph. and proved that at one point I stood within inches of him. So
true.
It's
true.
Cool. So, this maybe is perhaps a more morbid endorsement than they were looking for.
Yeah, I think, you know, and we could focus back on the two that we're talking about here, which is, you know, Tim Conway and Harvey Korman.
We would like it if future live reads did not include the phrase icy hand of death, Ms. Reynolds.
Right. Well, again, you know, the farewell tour is an ominous title. Although, how many farewell tours has Cher done?
Scotty was actually just typing Cher on the screen. Well, at this point, the Eagles had that one that was called Farewell One, which was genius. They did that, the Farewell One tour, which is great. So this is happening November 17th at the Schnitzer. You can get the tickets, Ticketmaster and House of Blues, I think HOB.com, as of this weekend, I believe. But more importantly, we right here are going to be giving away tickets.
You could do that starting today and should. Actually. That's my subtle way of
saying. That was subtle.
You know, come on, man. Let's get it going.
Well, so we have, a pair today?
You could do a couple pairs today.
I could actually do two pair today.
You could, and you could do two pair tomorrow.
All right, so we'll do two pair today, two pair tomorrow, and then we're going to be doing fifth row, fourth row, and then
the old 5-4-3-2-1.
And then eventually we're going to be doing a backstage thing too, right?
It
like
is.
Meet
so
and greet.
Somebody else could have a bathrobe shot taken as well. I say bring your own bathrobe.
So there you go. Well, that's my goal, is a series of photographs of celebrities with bathrobes standing next to me.
Or maybe a smoking jacket.
Yes.
I don't know.
So there you go. All right. So anyway, so that is coming up November 17th. So we'll, before the end of this hour, we'll give away a pair, and then we'll give away a pair next hour as well.
Great.
Parting observations, thoughts, shoplifting?
Shoplifting?
Have you ever shoplifted anything?
No.
Anything? That is a lie.
That is such a lie. You know what? I am looking you right in the eye. Aren't I?
All right, yes, you are.
So what do you think about that guy on the wall behind you?
Ooh.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Who is that?
He's a French actor. Isn't he hot?
Sarah announced that was actually the best-looking man she'd seen in quite some time. And that she's not usually given to proclamations of that nature, but she put that guy's picture on the wall.
He's cute.
But note how she's got him facing me. So I go to the show with some weird frog looking at me.
He's got one of those sets of eyes that follows you around the room, which I think is kind of key.
He's got eyes that seem to flash in smoky neon blue. Come with me to the bedroom now.
He does have bedroom eyes, right.
All right.
And plus he's French.
Can I tell you this, that I had a female relative tell me that I had bedroom eyes one time? How weird is that?
A relative?
I don't want to clarify who it was.
It wasn't your mom. Sorry.
Not as far as you know. No, I had a female relative tell me that one time. And here's the creepy thing. Do you ever have stuff happen in your childhood? What a weird free-ranging program this is today. Do you ever have stuff happen in your childhood that doesn't seem creepy at the time because you have no context in which to put it or understand it? And then you look back years later and you're going, well, what the hell was that about? This is one of those things, actually. It's when I was like 10. And I had some female relative tell me, and she was an adult relative, by the way. I had an adult female relative when I was 10 tell me that
you
I had...
Alone?
That I was, actually, Nick, come to think of it. And it was at a Christmas party.
Oh.
And she'd been drinking.
Of course she had.
The hell was that about?
Well, that's when you say things
like
that.
You have bedroom eyes. And I was 10.
Yeah.
You have the eyes of a woman. What does that even mean?
Wait, what?
Nothing. Never mind. Let's move on. Susan Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. CBS Radio Marketing. Thank you. There you go. We're going to take a break now.
Yeah, we're still 15 minutes late.
Back after this. 503-733-2970. Coming up for the end of the hour, a pair of... let's all just forget about that last exchange. Coming up for the end of the hour, a pair of tickets to see Tim Conway and Harvey Korman at the Schnitz, which is coming up November 17th for their farewell tour. And we will be doing that in the coming weeks as well. You stay there. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere.
Are belong to us. This is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
You have not. Okay. Well, look, related or not, hot is still hot. Hello.
Yeah, you don't get bragging rights for that.
I need a scrubbing.
At least one of your relatives is attractive.
What the hell is that about?
I'm just saying, I don't have very many cousins, and the ones I do are enormous.
They're huge.
Except for my cousin Jack, who's really cool.
Okay, so that wasn't... Is he hot?
Jack's good looking, yeah. He lives actually around here.
So that comment wasn't a reflection on the relative attractiveness
of a particular part of my family.
Is your family... Let me ask you this. Never mind. Let's move on.
My father's side is pretty slender. My grandmother on my father's side was a model. So his mother has always been pretty petite. My mother's side, kind of bigger bones.
They're people of size.
Yes.
All right.
So your cousin's hot, huh? Oh, is that an off-the-air comment?
Not anymore.
I want to see a picture of her now.
I've said, well, she might not be hot now. She seemed hot at the time, but...
At what time?
We were drunk. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally... You know who doesn't want to be associated with this discussion is Ego PDX. They're at 2289 North Interstate. And call them if you like. Express your horror and disgust that they are part of this radio program. It's 503-287-8181 or go see them. Here's the thing about Eco PDX. And, you know, a lot of places say this, and it's not really true. It's usually a lie. But you go to Eco PDX now, and then you go, you know, in another month, and it's going to be two entirely different sets of furniture. Not entirely different, but they're always getting new stuff in. And here's the thing about Eco PDX. I'm going to tell you this up front because I want to be honest about this. They're not cheap. It's not a cheap place. If you've got $5 in your pocket and you need like a dresser set, this is not the place for you. But if maybe you are getting to a place where you want some furniture that you're not going to be changing out every year and a half, you want something that's quality, you want something that looks, you know, like real furniture. You want something that looks like furniture a grown-up would own. Then, you know, get rid of your cinder blocks and the door that's laying over them as a coffee table and go to Eco PDX. They use salvaged or entombed wood, which is very, very old wood that has then been sealed underground, you know, due to an earthquake or whatever in different parts of the world. And a lot of this is imported from Java, you know, Indonesia, and it's a fair trade company. So everything, you know, you can feel good about it. You can feel good morally. You can feel good about the way it's going to look in your place. And you can feel good about the way you're going to be treated because their slogan is integrity, sustainability, fair trade. In other words, they give a damn. So go see them. They are big fans of the Rick Emerson Show. They are big supporters of the Rick Emerson Show. And we're glad to have them here. You walk in here, you see this furniture, and I'll tell you right now, you've never seen anything like it before. Go see him. 2289 North Interstate, Eco PDX.
If you haven't heard the Tom Likas Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. The more you tell me, the worse this sounds.
Man, have you ever noticed how Scotty's funnier when he's in the other room? Like, I mean, not in a bad way.
You know how Scotty's funny when he can't hear him
The way he's, you know, conveys things through writing. Yeah. Seems to work for him pretty well.
The fact that most of the words are misspelled adds to the comedy, actually. I cut him off on air. That's not true at all. That's a complete mischaracterization of the situation.
Maybe we should bring Scotty in.
Scotty, let's...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to Jack Squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Really good. Good afternoon.
Hi, Scotty J.
All right. How you doing?
It wasn't mean.
I don't know where the delivery driver sound effect went, Scotty. I have no idea where. Wait,
in
let me.
The new.
Let me see if I can find it here.
No,
that's not it.
It's not in the new.
Why do you keep playing that?
I don't even know where it came from. You know, be glad that we haven't made a contest out of that sound effect. I don't have a...
Perhaps you should make a contest out of the delivery driver one.
I don't have...
We're having a tough time with it.
I don't have the delivery driver sound effect, Scotty. That's what I'm saying. We can speak as men here, can't we? Aren't we men?
We worked really hard on it.
I know it was rotten, but at least the last one was large Marge.
I know it was rotten.
Sarah said it was better than the other one.
Spoken like a true radio person. Well, I know it's no good, but could you play it anyway? You ought to be a record rep. Well, say this. Practice saying this going, look, all we want is the ad. Make it a paper ad if you have to.
It's almost a punishment, too, because if they're going to call me up and they're going to specifically say, hey, it's delivery driver Dan or delivery driver this, they're asking for it.
They're asking for it. All right. The thing is, I don't believe we have the delivery driver sound effect, Scotty, so you're going to have to go back to the drawing board on that.
Okay.
All right. And I don't cut you off on the air.
All right, then.
All right. Quit being a jerk.
See ya.
All right.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for coming in. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. All right. The real reason you're here today, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, attention parents.
Susan Reynolds.
If you want to read something really steamy, you may not have to look any further than your daughter's wardrobe. These new suggestive T-shirts are popular among teens these days. They're found in trendy clothing stores all over the country. One extols the virtue of the wearer's backside, and it reads, "Yes, I have a nice ass." "This is not appropriate for my daughter," said one woman to the CBS Early Show. This is from the CBS
Early Show. You know what to do with that.
"It's the culture sucking them in," said one mother. Another shirt reads,
"The culture's..." I'm sorry, the culture what?
"That's the culture sucking them in," said a father.
Another, sucking them in. Sucking okay, them all right, in. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you said something else.
Another T-shirt reads, "Spank me, it's my birthday." This is a generation that has no interest in privacy, so they're willing to publicize what they think and what they feel, whether it's provocative or not. Whether they think that's good or bad.
Patty cake.
You know, kids have always looked for attention, and part of what teens do is say, "Hey, look at me." They're starting to form their own identity, says the spokesman of the National Institute on Media and Family. But kids always want to push the limits. That's the job teens have. It's the adults' role to set limits so they have something to push against. So, adults have the responsibility to draw the line and say, "That's over the line. You can't wear that."
Okay. All right. There you go.
I've got a terrible cocaine habit.
That's fantastic. See, that's why I didn't delete it. I didn't delete the Tim folder. That's another thing, man. I'm so glad I don't have children. I think that's the other thing. If I had to have kids, like if you put a gun to my head, and it's like I had to choose, I think I would always go with the boy. Because as Sarah pointed out, see, because here's the thing. If you got a teenage boy, like you don't... I guess if you have a teenage boy, you got to realize that unless he is a football player or exceptionally good looking, or Aaron, apparently, he's not going to get any play anyway. You know what I mean? Like, you're a teenage boy, you're not going to get any action. And I mean, especially we would know if he... Look, let's just be honest here. Especially if he was a child growing up in my... Any boy growing up in my house would clearly just be nerdy to the nth degree. So, I mean, you got nothing to worry about there. If you got a girl, even an ugly daughter, you know that the boys are just going to be flocking around the house. That's what they do. Having an ugly daughter is no guarantee of anything. It just means there's going to be ugly boys around. That's all it is. You can't... There's really no protecting. And it's like, I mean, I guess with a boy, all you got to worry about is he's wearing his goddamn hat sideways and his pants are a little sagging. You don't have to worry that he's out there wearing a belly shirt. I can't, because the whole thing now with the girls, as you just noted here, is to wear those shirts that are not technically obscene, not indecent, but it's that they have some weird, you know, like just some weird. And you ever see girls? I mean, and I know you have, especially if you're spending your time at Lloyd Center, wearing shirts that are just so cringe-inducingly. I'm not going to say they're graphic. But they're just so, as Annie Wilkes would say, they're just so oogie. Like, I swear to God, she couldn't have been more than, like, 12, 13 at the most. I'm walking through, and you know it's a good story because it begins with, I'm walking through the Lloyd Center food court, and there's a girl who I am guessing could not have yet been in her teens. And I swear to Christ, she was wearing a shirt. It was pink, and then in, like, glittery sequins, it said, "Size Queen." Now... That's, I mean, and it's like I wanted to go home and just scrub away my skin. I felt so icky.
What did it say?
Size Queen.
How come this means nothing to me?
I think it requires a further explanation.
Someone, we'll take a, well, I'll tell you about it during the break.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
We'll go to the counselor's office. Here's Tim Riley.
Time up for a double hick watch.
Here's your double hick watch.
Copenhagen makes me feel good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. Copenhagen makes me feel good.
Oh, all right. Would you like to explain?
It's so awkward. I believe that term is used
to describe.
To describe. Thank you, Tim.
By some members of society.
Thank you for holding my hand as we go through this. I believe that term is used to describe a woman who has a certain
statistical certain specifications for the endowment of her male consorts.
Perhaps that requires further explanation.
They have to be huge.
Oh!
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
and
so
we're not talking about feet here.
No. Well, we might be.
It's between the feet
and
the fingers.
And so then when you ask, why do I have no idea what that means, there just seemed, there was really no appropriate response to that. So I believe that's what it is. I believe it's your woman and you require girth as well as...
Maybe perhaps she didn't know what it meant.
Okay. Here's my thing, is that somebody had to, someone had to design the shirt.
Getting yourself deeper and deeper.
Someone had to, look, someone had to buy the shirt
right
in that household. Mm-hmm. I mean, although I wouldn't rule it out in Southeast, it seems unlikely that that girl's out there earning her own money at 11. Who's to say, though? But someone
there
in
is
that,
allowance.
Someone in her house had to buy that shirt and then put it on her before she went to the mall that day. Mommy, what should I wear? Wear Mommy's size queen shirt. Okay. You know, I just... There's a whole lot of steps that got from, like, concept to actuality in that. Here's Tim. I don't want to talk about this.
Meanwhile, an Arkansas mayor accused of seeking sex from women in exchange from preventing their water from being turned off has agreed to resign.
Troy that's Anderson really aiming high
had
right there.
3 months left in his term as mayor of Waldron anyway. The plea agreement was also reached with the 72-year-old mayor who was charged with abuse of public trust and patronizing a prostitute. One woman told investigators that in addition to paying for sex, the mayor covered a late water deposit and allowed her to change the name of her long-overdue water bill to maintain service. Another woman with a late water bill wore a recording device when she met the mayor. She said he offered to pay for sex, grabbed her, and exposed himself.
All right, there you go. Rick, this email says, here's a vivid condom memory I have from my youth. Maybe you remember this as well, and I do. When I was in middle school during the initial AIDS coverage, I remember watching Peter Jennings demonstrate on a banana on national TV how to properly put on a condom. And I do remember that. He says, how effing weird was that? Seeing Peter Jennings gripping a ripe banana like he owned it and slowly rolling the condom down the banana will be a vision that will stick with me until I die. He says, but that is where I learned to pinch the tip. So I guess it did some good. There you go. That's our good friend Nate. Rick, I buy my condoms at Walmart. Everyone there is fat or retarded. It's kind of a confidence builder. This program, by the way, we're not going to excerpt today's program to play at the sales conference that's coming up next week. Just in case anybody out there is listening, this will not be a program from which we draw any kind of best of segment. We're going to burn this show when we're done today.
Part two of the Hit Watch while we're here.
Let's, just because we're all here.
This also comes to us from Arkansas.
Okay.
Shoppers with a long list of holiday gifts might want to start saving now because Walmart intends to phase out its layaway department before Christmas.
Imagine having a layaway thing to the Walmart.
Yeah, staff at Walmart's home office in Bentonville.
How much are these pony slippers?
We're asked, is the layaway department closing? It is. When's that going to happen? Well, the last day that you put things on layaway this Friday, and they have to be up by November 19th. So if you have Christmas gifts, you can't pick them up on December 8th. The employee said that she had heard about the department closing, but only thought it was a rumor. It's just a loss to the store. None of our competitors have it.
Okay.
Kmart does have a layaway.
The best part is how you appear completely mystified by the story. You just seem like you're just wading right into it.
Well, I've never heard of something.
Laying away at a Walmart. I mean, how important could it be that big box of Whoppers go home with you? I mean, seriously. Good God Almighty. All right, there you go.
Double hit quiet.
There you go.
Over.
Jesus.
Makes me feel so.
We got a break here, but as we're breaking, let me just tell you this. All right, was it the... What is that place on 39th and Powell? Is it...
They no, not 39th and Powell. Division about that Tom's Diner.
Oh, I love that place.
I was there last night, and Nate and I were meeting last night talking about something. And just as I walked in, I heard someone at the counter use the... I wrote this down. Someone at the counter was using the following phrase as I walked in. Quote, "He smells like Febreze and rotting stuff." End quote.
Is that as you walked through the door?
As I walked. He wasn't looking at me.
Oh,
I,
are you sure?
I don't believe he was tough. He's got a hot cousin. He's got the eyes of a woman. Let's break, shall we? Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
You're listening to the Rick Emerson Show. All right, here we go. On AM 97.
What's up? Solid.